Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer.
The professor returns from Canton. As we start off, we should make an acknowledgement. Don Banks, who was a longtime NFL reporter, a really, really great guy. He had previously worked with Sports Illustrated. He was just hired to cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He passed away Sunday, and that's really sad. He was 56 years old, and Don Banks is one of the nicest guys that you would run into in a press box, and it's really sad.
Yeah, and it's I've talked to him his entire career. I mean, from the very beginning when he was in Tampa Bay covering the Bucks to when he moved to Minnesota, and we talked all the time, comparing notes and all those different things. And at the game on Thursday night, I got there early because we got done taping some Hall of Famers for Sirius, and got there at 5, and Don got there at about 5:15, spent about 45 minutes talking about his new job, how happy he was, you know, to get back into a newspaper position. You know, that was great. And then saw him on Saturday night, right before they started doing the induction ceremonies, talked to him for about 10-15 minutes there. And the next thing you know, I get back, and it's kind of like when we're coming back from London. You land, you start to get in your car and you drive, and then you find out something happened. Like when I came back from London, you know, upon my arrival, I found that Paul Allen passed away. And now we find out yesterday that Don Banks, you know, passed away from, we have no idea what it was, but he woke up dead in Canton, Ohio. Unbelievable.
Really, really sad. John, what was the weekend like in Canton?
It was good. I mean, they continued to build on the all the property there, you know, 5-star hotel in the making, and they've got you know, bigger stadium. I mean, I still remember the quaintness of how it was before. You know, you had a small Hall of Fame building, then you had the ceremonies pretty much in the yard, you know, where they would put some chairs and, you know, sit some people down, have a big podium and stuff like that, and, you know, a little bit of a stage. And so that was there. Now they're in a 28,000 seat stadium. I mean, it's unbelievable to think how this has advanced over the last several years, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, so they now, instead of having just a Hall of Fame, they have a Hall of Fame village. Amazing.
Hey, John, tell us what you saw from in the game itself. Did Joe Flacco play at all?
No.
Yeah, so.
No, the main starters did not play. And the line that I used is that, you know, here's Vic Fangio in great pain because he was not passing gallstones. They were there. And the line that I used in the press box, watching how bad the game was, I don't know who's in more pain, Vic Fangio with his gallstones or us watching this.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
Well, do you think that's going to be a trend that everybody follows like the Rams did last year? I mean, mm-hmm. We talked about this. I mean, it sure didn't affect them. They made it to the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, they didn't – I'm trying to remember, but it was almost every name mm-hmm. on their offense didn't even play in a preseason game last year, right?
Right, and that's the plan for this year. They're not playing any starters.
You think every team's going to start to follow suit?
Well, I think what you're seeing, because I know I talked to a couple of general managers today about that, and that you know, what they were telling me is that you know, the days of the long training camp, as much as coaches want them, you know, it's not that they're coming to an end, because it's not like they're going to cut the 2 preseason games, but now you're starting to think it's like, okay, it's too long. I mean, do you really need 6 weeks to get ready for a season? And, you know, because, again, you have the OTAs, you have the ability to have scrimmages, and I think in a lot of ways you gain more from the scrimmages than you do from some of these preseason games. Now, I'm not talking about maybe game 2 or game 3 where you play the starters a half or you play them 3 quarters, but I think that you're realizing you're only going to play starters probably at most 5-6 quarters. And maybe even 5, I guess, is probably the number right now, because you're not going to play him in the fourth game, is that, you know, maybe the system is now outdated. The games are bad. The, you know, fans aren't happy about the quality that they see. And so I don't know how it's going to change. It would have to probably be something in the CBA that can be agreed upon by the players to make up for the revenue. But I think something needs to be done. I mean, you know, how much going? You know, I know this is not the same when you were playing. You know, when I was covering in the early days with the two practices a day and all those different things. But now, I mean, you can see more guys sitting out. We saw it in the OTAs where there were as many as 20 guys sitting out in the OTAs for the Seahawks. And now it's like you're more worried about the injuries. And all you have to do is look at the waiver wire each day, because the more you practice, you get a young guy who gets hurt. You have to waive him injured because now you need his replacement. You know, he's going to cost you money until he heals. And so, I'm starting to wonder now, what's the right solution for the preseason?
Yeah, it's a tough one for me because I really needed those reps to get up to speed. And I think for the younger guys, they really need it. Speaking of injuries, John, to me, maybe the most disappointing thing is Ed Dixon.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of his, but this may spell the end, especially with Will Dissly playing the way he is. Mm-hmm. Jacob Hollister looked good. He had four catches the other day in the scrimmage. And then did I mention Nick Vinette, Will Dissly?
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like he could possibly be the odd man out.
Yeah, because it was weird because I was starting to think about it today during the show, and you know, looking at the observations, we're talking to Bob Condotta, and you can see that Barkevius Mingo has a role, and you know, I know everybody looks at the cap and says, oh yeah, this guy's got to go for cap casualties to save some cap room. Well, that's not the case with this team. You know, they're in good shape on the cap. So it's like, so you can keep who you want to keep. And, you know, last year they went out and got players in free agency that they usually don't get. All right. So now the way you look at it is that the Mingo has so much value because he can rush the quarterback. If necessary, he can drop back and be a starting safety or starting linebacker. And then if you want to kind of do some packages in 3-4, he can help you there. So I think that he's now ingrained himself to be there, where now you look at how it's flipped. And also remember, it's like Will Dissly isn't just coming off an injury with his knee. He's competing for a starting job and looking good. He had two touchdowns today. Then you've got Nick Vinette, and Jacob Hollister continues to do great things. So you can see the flip right now where Hollister probably has the edge over Ed Dixon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm sorry, Jim. They have two extremes. I mean, with George Fant, you know, you're able to put him in there on the run plays. And then on the other extreme, you know, Hollister not much of a blocker and not a very big guy, but he's also got a lot of speed. So,
no, but I mean, you've got three blockers and he's the pass catcher.
Right.
And you can see that Dissly's a pass catcher.
Dissly's
well.
Both really mm-hmm. well. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think right now, and again, it's early, things change. And I mean, you know, you look at the tight end position and how deep it was, and then all of a sudden they get, I mean, basically they lose three guys in a week. Because remember, they had to take two guys, they like Tyrone Swopes, but they had to waive him injured, so he's hurt. Then you can see that they had another young tight end they put on the waived injured list. So they're all of a sudden down three tight ends to the point where they had to go out and sign tight ends.
All right, Professor, what do you make of Bobby Wagner, the news today that he had a little procedure done with his knee? Do you just chalk that up as no big deal?
No, I mean, I think he's done that before. I know KJ Wright's done that before. I mean, you know, what you worry about it is in the long term, but you know, I think that spells to the deal that they did because, you know, it's one where the knee's, I mean, you know, the knee's workable and, you know, you just get time off and all that. But, you know, the way that they structured the contract is that, you know, he got $15 million to sign, $9.5 million on the base salary. He gets $24.5 million this year. But, you know, let's say that he doesn't have some kind of developing injury that, you know, he can't play next year. You know, he has the injury guarantee for the base salary. But if it's not a devastating injury, you know, if they need to cut ties, I mean, they can do it and it's not bad cap wise. But again, you know, they gave him $18 million because they want him for three more years. He's the quarterback of the defense. But no, I think it's one I know that, you know, that's now one of the new procedures that everybody goes to. And it's just one to get through this season.
John, have you seen this picture of Antonio Brown's feet?
Yes, I did.
It's nasty.
Oh, it's awful.
Gross.
Like, he showed, because he was on the PUP list, right? Because there was a problem with his foot.
Right.
And then he went to go see a foot specialist, and then he took a picture of the bottoms of his feet, and I don't know how to describe it other than it looks like the entire bottom of his foot at one point was a blister.
Yeah.
There's a chunk missing that appears to be the size of a big tortilla chip off of the bottom of his left foot. How are things going for him in Oakland?
Let's put it this way. They're not on good footing right now, you can say.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
He's not off to a good first step. I mean, what, he comes in an air balloon, and now he can't put his feet on the ground. That's not bad. I guess maybe that's why he came in on the air balloon, because it was too painful to have to drive a car. So that's pretty bad. I mean, he's only been able to take part in one pre-practice, and he's day-to-day. But, you know, how when you have a team, I mean, you know, his team right now is probably bigger than the Mariner bullpen, in the sense that, you know, he has trainers, nutritionalists, foot specialists, all these different people. Well, where was the foot specialist in this? Because basically, you know, because I know he's taking antibiotics and, you know, different things like that, but the foot was kind of one way, whereas one, it looks like he was practicing in some wet things with wet socks or something like that. And then, of course, now it's dry and terrible. I mean, it's a horrible looking thing. And I agree. And, you know, typical Antonio Brown, his social media people take the picture and tweet it out. And it's like, well, how bad is it? And you look at it and says, that's pretty bad.
Still, I rise. Report that is what he said underneath the picture of his nasty feet.
You know what it looks like is you ever see a snake when they shed a skin?
Yeah.
And it kind of looks more than a tortilla chip. It looks like a Jack-in-the-Box taco shell.
Ooh.
Which I had two of those over the weekend.
Did you?
I love them.
Have you seen that Burger King came out with tacos?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, they're trying to challenge Jack-in-the-Box as the preeminent fast food taco.
I can tell you one thing. If you didn't want onions in your Burger King taco, it'll happen in Clea Elum.
John, have you ever had a Jack-in-the-Box taco?
Yeah, I have.
Do you like them?
They're okay.
Oh, really? See, now that's an odd response, because people either love them or they absolutely think they're disgusting.
Yeah, but I'm not Maura. I'm not Ashley Cox. It's like they're into tacos. It's like I'll have one, but it's like it's not like it's one of my main things I'm going to get.
You're not a taco connoisseur.
I'm not a taco connoisseur.
Okay. The Jack in the Box taco is unlike any other taco that you will ever eat. It's really more like a Hot Pocket with a corn shell, mm-hmm, because there's a sealed pocket. I would describe the meat's consistency as being somewhat like cat food, although it's delicious. I really like the Jack-in-the-Box taco. Like, you can chalk me up for that one, but yeah, it's generally what I would consider one of the more divisive foodstuffs.
Yeah.
All right, John, Pro Football Focus.
Divisive.
Danny's favorite.
Yeah, stuff. Top 10 each position. There were only three Seahawks mentioned. Russell Wilson at number 6 on the quarterback list. Dwayne Brown, the number 8 offensive tackle. Bobby Wagner, number 1 at linebacker. Does that sound about right to you? Is there anyone that they might have missed?
Yeah, okay, I can understand it because there's so many good receivers, and we're only talking top 10, right?
Top 10 at
because,
each position.
Because, I mean, nobody has blown the horn favorably for Tyler Lockett more than Pro Football Focus. I mean, they're the ones that came out in the 12 years they've been in business. They say for a 50-catch receiver, he put up the best numbers they've ever calculated. You know, the 15 yards plus in the targets, the 158.3 relationship with quarterback rating, throwing to him with Russell Wilson, all those different things. And so you say, okay, he's the one that's being slighted of that group. But then, you know, you look at the NFL Network and what they did with the wide receiver. And I think they had 19 wide receivers. So I guess from that standpoint, he hasn't cracked the top 10, but you can see that he's on the rise. So I think 3 for top 10s are pretty good. I know that the players didn't vote Dwayne Brown in the top 100. They've been touting up him for Pro Football Focus, and a lot of other people have too. So I think, you know, when you're talking top 100 players in this league, punters and kickers excluded, I think, you know, it's 4, but then, you know, that's where how many receivers, and if you're only counting 10, I can see why Lockett's out of there.
You know, Jason Myers was perfect, I think. I don't think he missed a field goal the other day.
I've never seen him miss a field goal in practice.
Yeah. It's been good, man. I mean, I think that's something that we're probably going to, it's going to be like offensive line, hopefully, that we don't have to talk about it. Because Jason Myers has been money. It's just so weird. I can't get over, you know, that he couldn't make the team last year over Seabass, a guy who looked like he smuggled shoulder pads on the bus and from the berm and came down. I mean, he looked like a guy who played high school football and was still trying to relive his glory days.
Back then, the coach would have put me in. We would have won state.
That's right.
Yeah, it's weird because I know that I've been wanting to talk to Jason Myers and probably will at some point. And I'm kind of wondering, that was like one of the lines I would be using talking to him is like, okay, now at least, you know, Sebastian Janikowski goes back when I started covering football 40 some years ago. But because, I mean, you think about how old he looked. I mean, he looked old. And he's looked old for a lot of years. Now, he still had a good leg. His kickoffs go deep into the end zone. You can't return them. I mean, he can still make the 50-yard field goals. But I know that they asked Brian Snyder, special teams coach, and Pete Carroll, and they both said at the end of training camp, they reviewed all the numbers, and you know they're going to be ones taking care of every single number. They said that Sebastian Janikowski won the battle.
John, Freddie Kitchens says he's going to fire any assistant who's an unnamed source in the media. How exactly does he plan to do that, given that they're unnamed?
Mm-hmm. A good point. I mean, you have to make a case for it. Again, this is where, at one point I was starting to say that the Cleveland Browns have passed the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was going to say that. And now I back off. And the reason I back off is because I just wonder about Freddie Kitchens. I mean, it's not looking good in the sense that, I mean, here's the guy who was the running backs coach who was nowhere last year. Next, he got a good relationship with Baker Mayfield. He becomes the offensive coordinator. Then he becomes the head coach. And I don't know, you saw the story that Bob Wiley, who was a great offensive line coach, who he fired. Or actually didn't renew the contract is what it was. And so he comes back, and Wiley was ripping him, basically saying it's like, hey, I'm surprised. I mean, Greg Williams was the one who helped win the season, get him to the 7-9 with what they did toward the end with the defense. And he says, and he had all the help on offense because he wasn't doing as much as people thought he was.
When you say Bob Wiley, I believe we are contractually obligated to play his Hard Knock. We're contractually obligated to play his soundbite from Hard Knocks last year.
World War One, World War Two, all those guys that fought in that war, right? They did push-ups, jumping jacks, sit-ups, climbed the rope and ran. But none of this fancy, okay? Right? And they won two World Wars. Two World Wars by doing jumping jacks, push-ups, and sit-ups. Two World Wars. You think they were worried when they're running across Normandy about stretching? Are you kidding me?
A few people might have pulled a hammy.
Well, let me see. Give me my rubber band so I can stretch to run across that beat. You got to be kidding me.
He's a beauty. Isn't he great?
Is he still there?
No.
He didn't get his contract renewed.
Oh, is he coaching anywhere?
Not that I know of.
That's too bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, if you go to NFL.com right now, you can see a picture of Blue Steel. If you've ever seen Zoolander.
Who?
Oh, just in the Zoolander, the model picture, a quarterback that's really, 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 really good looking.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, Jimmy G, okay, yeah.
Yeah, they've got like this, I don't know what you call that, whatever that kind of shot
is. Far off glaze.
It's not an action shot, that's for sure. But somebody saying that the Niners are overhyped. What kind of year do you think Garoppolo is set to have? And the Niners, where do they finish?
I think they'll be good, not great. What I look at is that I think that they'll have a lot of good type things go for them.
Good D-line.
They got a great D-line. I mean, they still have some issues at linebacker in the secondary. I mean, you still kind of wonder about the injuries on that team, you know, because they still get injured. I know that, that's still going to be a big concern. I mean, they got a middle linebacker, Kwame Alexander's coming off an ACL, a quarterback coming off an ACL, a running back coming off an ACL, and that's, you know, that can be problematic. But, you know, I think I still look at them as one of the two most improved teams in football because I put it at Jacksonville and I put it at San Francisco. Are they going to make the playoffs? No. Are they going to challenge for a playoff spot? Probably not. But I think they can get to eight, maybe nine.
CBSSports.com has Doug Marrone on the hottest seat, though, John, there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he is on a hot seat, but, I mean, there's so many coaches, I think, on hotter seats. I mean, I think that Dan Quinn in Atlanta, you know, Ron Rivera in Carolina. I mean, you can go through the whole list, and there's about, you know, 10 coaches right now that I think are going to be on a hot seat. But Marrone's seat is going to be really warm, and we're not just talking about it's in Jacksonville where it's usually 98 to 100 degrees. But, you know, you look at it as, okay, we got you your $20 million quarterback in Nick Foles to replace Blake Bortles. We'll get it done. And, you know, they're not as good on defense because they lost some players they couldn't afford. They're right up. They're tight against the cap because they've invested so much in the team. So there's no question that they have some difficulties. But he's got to win. If he doesn't make the playoffs, I think he's out. And, again, is he on a hotter seat than even Jason Garrett? I think Jason Garrett's on a hotter seat. Mm.
I heard some guy on over the weekend, John, some national guy. I don't know who it was, but I like him anyway because he thinks Gardner Minshew is going to be the backup quarterback once the season starts there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's possible. I just think it's such a tough conversion. I know that Mike Leach will probably get mad for me saying it, but making that tough conversion from the air raid over. Now, of course, I say that knowing that Kyler Murray is going to definitely start, and I guess they had the Saturday night game, you know, a scrimmage that they always have. And I guess he did some pretty good things, made a couple bad throws. They pretty much lined up in a 10 formation, which is, you know, one back and four wide receivers. So that's going to be interesting. I mean, say what you want. They may not be very good, but they're going to be interesting to watch.
Now, John, you know one of the backup quarterbacks in San Francisco. You know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard.
Beathard.
That's correct. That's an alternative pronunciation. I'm interested to see. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's had 2 years there in which really all expectations have been scuttled because the first year they were looking for the quarterback. The second year their quarterback got hurt. But year three, people are going to start getting antsy. They won four games last season. I'll be interested to see because I can't imagine him getting fired after this season. But you could certainly see the heat turned up on him.
Oh, no question. I mean, that's both he and John Lynch. But, you know, they got 6-year guaranteed contracts. And so that's going to probably, you know, at least buy him an extra year, maybe 2 years. But, yeah, I think the heat's on there. And a story came out, I think it was in Bleacher Report, that a couple of the scouts started ripping, you know, the relationship that the front office has with their scouts, like how they just don't listen. And, you know, I can see a little bit of that. And what I think further going to be interesting is to see, you know, where they stand at quarterback if it doesn't work out with Jimmy Garoppolo. Because remember, you know that, you know, Kyle Shanahan wanted Kirk Cousins more than he did Jimmy Garoppolo.
John, you know what? I'm going to be really mad. I think Hard Knocks debuts tomorrow.
Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really mad if they don't feature Luke Wilson. Jess and I were talking to Nick Vinette today.
Yeah.
And, man, that's an opportunity missed by them.
Agreed.
If they don't.
He could be a breakout year, an absolute superstar?
No, it's just he's funny.
I wonder what his hair situation is right now.
What's his hair game like?
Yeah, because it was really long last time I saw it. So.
Yeah, a little unkempt.
Yeah, I'm gonna be angry if they don't feature him. But there's
they got to. It's like
there's lots of stories there, though.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
you got Vontaze Burfict, John Gruden himself,
Richie Incognito,
who's now starting.
Yeah, Antonio Brown and his feet.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of stuff there to talk about. You got anything else for the professor?
I got one last thing, John.
Yeah.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the running back of note that won't make this team for the Seahawks?
I mean, C.J. Procise. You just can't trust the with the injury factor. I know that they talk him up and, you know, they may throw a few more to the running backs. I mean, I know that, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, I think, was on with Brock and Salk and said that they're not going to overdo it throwing the ball. But they threw some screen passes, I guess, on Saturday. And I think they need to do some screen passes because, again, I think that they've got good running backs who can catch and they can get in open spaces. They're not going to overdo it, but I think they'll do it.
And I've been texted that the Jack in the Box tacos are vegan/vegetarian.
Which means
that
they're not tasty?
No, that's not true.
It appears that it may be true. We're going to investigate further. John, we always love talking to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer, download the podcast at 710sports.com. My kin is in the studio. My sister and her two children, a nephew who likes me, and a niece who does not. We're going to talk
about need to talk to her.
Yeah, we're going to talk to them and also give away two Mariner tickets coming up next.
You're listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Happy Hours brought to you by Heritage Distilling. Makers of BSB, that's brown sugar bourbon. We do have, as I said, Mariner tickets, so here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to this Friday's Mariners game. They're hosting the Rays. Don't forget to come by early. Stop by our live broadcast at Edgar's Cantina from 3 to 6 p.m. The tickets in our broadcast are brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto. We'll do the fifth caller right now, 206-421-3776. Fifth caller is going to win two tickets to that. We are joined now by a couple of people that are pretty special to me. My sister is in town. She's visiting from Santa Cruz. She's brought her two children, my niece, Myla Blue, who I'm not her favorite uncle, as she said to me very clearly, but John Riley, who is her brother, who's 2 years older. And, well, John Riley's been previously introduced on this very program with his, I don't know, what would you call it, unorthodox opinions or his national
I would characterize it as things that his weird uncle put him up to.
Yeah, that might be it. Here it was.
Definitely. Thank you.
You're right. You hear John's voice, John Riley's voice there. Here we go. This is what Riley had said to us previously.
What would you say the French are responsible for contributing to the United States?
Well, they have gave us. Okay. Oh, wait. Were you playing?
I was going to play what you said, and then we'll have you speak live. Hold on just a second. Hold on just a second, Riley.
What would you say the French are responsible for contributing to the United States?
The Vietnam War. Baguettes. And the statue that turned green quickly.
Do you stand by those comments, Riley?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Could you have given us that quote without the recording? You could have. Do you remember?
Yes, actually, I could have done better than that. Okay, so the French have given us 3 gifts. 1, the Vietnam War. 2, baguettes. And 3, a statue that turned quickly green.
He's muted into a Scottish accent. What are the problems? So, do the Scots get along with everybody, Riley?
No.
How about the Scots in English?
No.
Scots and other Scots?
Nah.
Here's the other thing that I've taught Riley, and Dave, this will come as a surprise to you. How did Dave injure himself once?
Well, he was angry at his neighbor, and then he punched a box that had a bunch of stuff in it. And he broke his hand. But then he was talking to his friends and said, oh, yeah, I was working on some marble stuff, and then it kind of slipped on my hand and kind of broke it. And then they were like, so would you punch it?
Is that an accurate recollection of the story, Dave?
Don't you have anything better to do than teach poor John Riley these boring stories of my past? That was a dumb thing to do, am I right, John Riley?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Not really, though.
Well, it wasn't dumb to punch something?
Well, it was dumb for him to punch something, but for you to tell me was not dumb.
He's already better at this than you and I, Dave.
Yes, he is. I failed to make the distinction, and so he corrected it, corrected the situation.
Let's have a couple other questions for Riley here, and then you guys will get your opportunity to ask him anything. What do you do, Riley, when life gives you lemons?
You squeeze them in people's eyes.
Now, why?
How is Mom with this? Mom is going, Danny comes down as the uncle, the fun, wacky uncle, teaches them all these bad habits and everything, and then leaves town. And then
actually,
Mom's like,
I thought about that myself.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Why would you want to squeeze lemons in someone's eyes?
I don't know. It's useful. If they're being annoying, I mean, of course you'd want to.
Wow, I could use some lemons here. You know, there's somebody in the studio that annoys me on a daily basis.
Yes, I can see that.
Uncle Danny.
His face is very red right now.
It's true. It turns red quite a bit because I laugh so hard. Kind of like yesterday when I was doubled over in pain from my stomach and you remarked, he's gonna
hurl.
And did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. You were rooting for it, though. You wanted to see it.
Kind of.
Do you guys have any questions for Riley?
How long has he been weird, your Uncle Danny? Ever since you've known him?
Definitely.
What's the weirdest thing that he's either tried to make you do or that he's done himself?
Well, it's when he went and slept on towels in the bathroom.
Why?
It was last night. I mentioned the stomach problems that I was having. And it was, I think anybody that's ever had a fever and like felt like when you try to get to something cold and you're like, oh, the ceramic tile is going to be cool.
In the bathroom.
So Riley woke up and then he's like, oh, I don't know where my uncle is. So he went downstairs. Yeah.
Well, I've laid on bathroom floors for other reasons, but that's been a while now.
That occurred to me that at least if I was going to feel that bad, I should have got the benefit of getting drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't handle my booze anymore. Right, Riley?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I got 2 questions for you. What do you like about Uncle Danny the most?
That he's weird. Yes. Really like that.
Right.
He's like a kid, isn't he?
Yes.
And why does your sister not like him?
Well, probably because she thinks he's annoying and very corny.
Oh, my gosh. This is exactly what I think.
She's like the listeners.
Isla Blue and I are like-minded. Yeah, and the listeners, too.
Now, the last story, it is a sports show, so we should get back to this because Riley and I watched the AFC and NFC championship games together.
Oh, yeah. The coach of the Patriots had some very bad anger issues.
He did have anger issues. What was Belichick doing?
Well, he had his Microsoft computer, and then the Chiefs got, they got a good play or something. And then he chucked his computer, and he grabbed it and chucked it over his head.
That's true. He just discarded it, and you wrote a paper after that.
Yes, I did. Why the Seahawks are better than the Patriots.
What were your reasons for why they were better?
Well, one of them was that the Patriots cheat a lot.
Correct.
No, and one is also whatever you call it, coach of the Patriots has very bad sportsmanship.
Right, because he threw his computer.
Yeah, he threw his computer, and then also the last one was this is. One of my strong opinions, it's that they are big old fans of Trump, and yeah.
Now, what was the response you got back from your teacher?
He was like, "I'm pretty. That was a great paper. I mean, you did good in your opinion and all, but I'm not sure all of it is entirely true."
Yeah, but you know the saying, you never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
And what did you explain to him when he questioned how true it was?
Well, I told him that my uncle was a sports reporter. And he had told me about the Patriots, doing that stuff. Yeah.
He cited his sources.
Yeah, I cited my sources.
He ratted you out.
He did, completely. We got anything else for John Riley here?
You're an awesome kid, you know, and remember what we talked about today, the weird people in school and in high school end up running the world. The cool kids never
work
out.
They end up working at, whatever you call it. What's it called again?
The Parks Department.
Yes. It's actually true.
It's Danny David Moore. We're going to sweep the dial next.
This is Danny Dave and Moore
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere.
Everywhere.
At 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
My rating, I got an 80 on the team, so I'm going to go play with myself today. So see how I feel. That came out weird. I'm mad.
Quinton Williams, defensive lineman drafted early on.
So apparently players say that they use their self.
Their video avatar?
Right.
Is that what it would be? Did you ever
play? They play.
Did Dave Wyman ever play the role of Dave Wyman on a video game?
I wasn't aware that there are video games with me.
There's one at my house right now. Tecmo Bowl.
How's my rating? Should I get mad about my rating?
They didn't do ratings back then. No, you're pretty good.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a good player on that.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fun to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, thinking that's me
that's
out there.
Strange.
Yeah.
We had somebody come on in an interview and say this exact same thing and not realize that it sounded weird.
Yeah, it would sound strange. Best video game athletes of all time. Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl is number one.
That's what I heard. Bo Jackson pretty much can do anything.
And then there's Michael Vick. I think it's 2002 Madden. Right. Vick is at least in the conversation. He's the only one that approaches Bo. He's not quite Bo, but he's up there.
Baker Mayfield, the Browns quarterback, is sitting up in a suite. And this was him after the home run. He's wearing a Lindor jersey. He's fired up.
That was Baker Mayfield chugging, shotgunning, and look, for his credibility, it wore extremely well. He looked extremely excited. And it kind of, if I was a Cleveland fan, I'd be pretty pumped that he did that.
Yeah, so is this a thing with the quarterbacks that are all doing? Didn't Brady do it and Aaron Rodgers?
Bakhtiari did it at the Bucs game.
Bakhtiari?
That kind of started it. He did two.
Yeah, and then there was also Yelich was there as well.
Oh, Christian
I don't
Yelich.
Think this was part of the shaming Aaron Rodgers for not chugging group of people, though. Okay. I think this actually was more of the I just got fired up because I think a three-run homer was just hit in the Indians game. So right. Just him fired up in a suite.
If you're the Browns owner, are you a little worried? Are you a little worried?
I would have been the day I drafted him.
He's a football player.
Have you shotgunned a beer before?
Yeah, but it's I find it hard.
You just like bite into the metal can and go.
Well, I think what you do is you make a hole on the bottom, then you hold hold it upright.
But he bit it.
He bit it.
You can bite it.
Yeah. He went after it.
Oh, he bit into the can.
Yeah, you can do that.
Wow.
That's a more savage way to do it. And then while popping the top to use it as a carb.
Yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Do you think you could do it faster than Baker Mayfield, or would you like to try?
Well, I could have, let's say, 6 months ago when I had everything working in my mouth. I think I could do it, but, you know.
I don't know. With the less teeth now, don't you think that
I might gum myself all over the damn can?
You certainly couldn't bite the can.
No, probably not.
I told you guys about this, that I read in Alaska where they've been going. I'm not sure if it's resolved. The governor had vetoed a lot of line items, and one of the people that was affected was someone who'd had teeth pulled in anticipation of having permanent replacements put in. But with the line item vetoes the governor had enacted, he couldn't get his teeth put in. And I immediately thought of Jim Moore, because you're in that in-between
period.
Oh,
you should have thought about your niece, because she just lost two teeth here.
They're going to grow back nationally.
Yeah,
how about yours?
Well, mine will need some help from Dr. Scholes there in Issaquah. I need some help from him. But no, I thought it was impressive what Mayfield did, though. I thought that was Miller Lite, is that okay there?
Sure, yeah. Yes.
I mean, I'm a Coors Light guy, but Miller Lite would
You think
work
he's going to work out? I just wish he wouldn't talk so much. I think he hasn't done enough in the league to... I mean, I like this. This is funny, and I'm sure it makes him one of the guys, but I just feel like he needs to accomplish a little bit more before he pops off.
No, I do not think he will work out. I don't think he's going to lead them to a playoff.
Seriously?
Appearance, no. I don't, and there's
even
two reasons.
Even off of what he did last year.
Yeah. Two reasons. The first is that he posed for an underwear ad featuring a Cadillac car and a tiger. That was before he'd started a game. The second thing is, you guys remember when he got tackled by that cop?
Yeah.
And he went down hard.
He went into the wall?
Yeah.
He could not run the cop?
Come on! That's what I'm saying.
He didn't have anyone blocking for him, though.
That's true.
Maybe the cop was really fast.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he got taken down hard.
Paul Blart lit him up.
There's a base hit to the right side. Anderson gets to it. Comes up throwing. The throw from right field is inside. What a strike from Brian Anderson. Oh, my goodness. A huge throw to cut down a huge run.
Now, that play, which was pretty impressive, sparked a little bit of a Twitter debate between the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays, both of whom are known for having changed their, despite being in the league a relatively short period of time. It used to be the Florida Marlins and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and now it's the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Miami Marlins said, "You literally killed Steve Irwin. Please log off." And then they had to apologize for it, because you can't go referencing real death.
Not funny.
On Twitter.
Yeah, see, that's not funny. This is why I'm not on Twitter. You think it's a good idea, and then maybe you run it past somebody else, and they think it is, but yeah, it's bad form.
It is. You just don't reference actual death.
You ever get yourself in trouble on the Twitter there, Jim?
I've been in trouble on Twitter before, yes, Dave. Not very often,
Can you
though.
Describe the nature of the infraction?
Let's just go ahead and not.
I'm trying to think what it was, because I've forgotten already. Yeah. I think I swore one time.
Probably something that would also get him in trouble on this radio station. So that's why I'm just asking
about it.
For
yeah, thank
a non-repeating
on,
performance.
I really
Jess
enjoy
is being
seeing
a good
how
teammate.
Nervous you are right now, Jess. That's Jess, what I'm enjoying.
You know, finger on the dump button.
Jess is being a good teammate, Dave, not so much.
Yeah, just leading you into trouble. That is going to do it for Sweeping the Dial, and it wraps up the Happy Hour, which is brought to you by Heritage Distilling, makers of BSB. We've got Bradley McDougal and my nephew John Riley was able to hear the interview earlier today, and he was impressed with Bradley McDougal's analysis of junk food, specifically as it related to gummy worms, and my nephew, Riley, as well as my niece, Myla Blue, who she won't tell you, but she I am her favorite uncle.
I'm
not your favorite. You just say that because you don't want to hurt your other uncle's feelings, because I am your favorite uncle.
That's not true.
Bradley McDougal joins us next.